This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting out with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Friday's close. March corn was down a quarter of a cent to 375 and a quarter. May corn was up a quarter of a cent to 384 and a half. And July corn was up a quarter of a cent as well to 392 and a half. Soybeans for March were down three quarters of a cent to 910 and a quarter. May beans were down a half cent to 923 and three quarters. And July beans were down a quarter of a cent to 937 and a quarter. Chicago wheat was up a quarter cent to 486 and three quarters. May wheat was up three quarters of a cent to 491 and three quarters. And Chicago wheat for July was up 1.5 cents to 495. Soybean meal for March was down 30 cents to 305.60. May bean meal was down 40 cents to 309.40. And July soybean meal was down 60 cents to 313.20. Soybean oil for March was up 2 cents to 30.51. May bean oil was up 3 cents to 30.85. And July soybean oil was up a nickel to 31.20. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for last Friday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are higher on Thursday afternoon with news of China purchasing up to 30 billion of U.S. goods, including grains. And in northern western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 5 cents at 332 to 357. Soybean bids were 5 to 10 higher at 829 to 860. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 5 cents at 344 to 360. Soybean bids were 9 to 12 higher at 849 to 876. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are up 4 cents at 341 to 372. Soybean bids are 8 to 12 higher at 847 to 884. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 9 cents higher at 879 to 889. Basis is steady at 3200 to 2200 of March. iPro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 283.90 to 295.90, up 70 cents a ton. With basis unchanged at 2200 to 10 under the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are 5 cents higher at 351 to 370, with basis steady at 2500 to 6 under the March. Illinois river barge loading elevated quoted to produce the corn bids 4 to 6 cents higher at 360 to 367, with basis mixed at 1600 to 9 under the March. Soybeans ended up 9 to 10 cents at 865 to 873, with basis steady to up 1 at 46 under to 38 under the March. New crop wheat prices are up 2 to 5 cents at 459 to 481, with basis unchanged to down 3 at 35 under to 13 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 cents higher, 386 to 387. These elevators raised their soybean prices 8 to 11 cents, quotations at 898 to 899. Soft wheat closed up 6 cents at 517 to 518. Milo ended the day 2 to 5 cents higher at 421 to 423. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 349 to 371, soybeans at 867 to 899. In the central part of the state, corn for fall delivery at 357 to 373, soybeans at 883 to 917. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October delivery at 345 to 377, soybeans at 882 to 913, and June, July wheat at 464 to 491. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle on February were up $1.05 to $128.67. April live cattle were up 27 cents to 128.87, and June live cattle were up 22 cents to 119.47. Feeders for March were down 32 cents to 142.90. April feeders were at 145.30, down 22 cents, and May feeders were down 2 cents to 146.85. Lean hogs on April were down 50 cents to 55.45. May hogs were down 32 cents to 65.47, and June lean hogs were at 75.90, up 22 cents. And at this time, we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for last Friday's Cash Livestock Reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.53 lower in a range of $44 to $47.85 with the weighted average carcass price of $46.37. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 24 to 28. 4 to 500 pounds at 26 to 33, 5 to 600 pounds at 29 to 38, over 600 pounds at 32 to 43. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were steady with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 25 to 34. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts totaled $21,389. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $123.50. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 328 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $61.23, which was $1.06 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $218.07, which is $1.58 higher, with select carcasses at $211.41, which was 9 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000 compared to 117,000 for last week and 118,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 475,000 compared to 470,000 for last week and 460,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the real livestock auction results in Congerville, Illinois. Special unrestricted feeder cattle sale in conjunction. Total receipts of 812. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4, sold in a range of 98 to 132.50. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4, sold in a range of 125 to 131.50. Slaughter cows with average dressing premium sold at 72. Breakers sold in a range of 55 to 65. Boners sold in a range of 51 to 60. Lean sold in a range of 39 to 48. Slaughter bulls sold in a range of 71 to 78. Feeder steers large 1 to 10 head with an average weight of 425 and an average price of 157.42. 13 head with an average weight of 522 and an average price of 151.24. 48 head with an average weight of 617 and an average price of 146.71. 50 head with an average weight of 708 and an average price of 138.61. 36 head with an average weight of 816 and an average price of 130.18. Feeder heifers large 1-2, 3 head with an average weight of 305 and an average price of 130. 10 head with an average weight of 424 and an average price of 146.39. 24 head with an average weight of 525 and an average price of 126.70. 32 head with an average weight of 629 and an average price of 131.41. 41 head with an average weight of 727 and an average price of 124.50. 44 head with an average weight of 837 and an average price of 127.75. 1 head with a weight of 940 and a price of 101. Feeder bulls large 1-2. 3 head with an average weight of 340 and an average price of 120. 5 head with an average weight of 485 and an average price of 137.25. 12 head with an average weight of 590 and an average price of 119. 3 head with an average weight of 670 and an average price of 109.33. 2 head with an average weight of 863 and an average price of 83. Bred cows, medium and large, second stage young, 4 head with an average weight of 890 and an average price of 703.26. Bred cows, large, third stage young, 5 head with an average weight of 1015 and an average price of 955.43. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
A new study from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation shows the value of red meat exports to domestic U.S. corn growers. The original study was conducted in 2015. In 2018, the study showed beef and pork exports used a combined total of 14.9 million tons of corn and DDGS, which equates to an additional 459.7 million bushels of corn produced, an increase of 29% over the 2015 projection. The study also found that since 2015, one in every four bushels of added feed demand for corn is due to beef and pork exports. Also, red meat exports' impact on the price of corn is 39 cents a bushel, based on the annual average price of $3.53 per bushel. Dan Wesley, chairman of the NCGA's Feed, Food, and Industrial Action Team, called the animal ag industry the largest customer of U.S. corn, adding that the study shows the impact to the corn producer is extremely beneficial as we continue to help these markets expand. Farmers and ranchers should submit comments on the revisions under the Clean Water Act to simplify the regulation. Michael Clemens reports with more from Washington.
The Environmental Protection Agency recently opened the comment period on the revised definition of waters of the United States that clarifies federal authority under the Clean Water Act. The comment period allows farmers and ranchers to tell the EPA how the new Clean Water Rule improves the flawed 2015 rule. Don Parrish, American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Regulatory Relations, says the new rule simplifies the regulation.
Farmers and ranchers want to be protective of water quality, but they also don't want the federal government stepping over the line or using the Clean Water Act to regulate land use. That's what the old rule did. This rule, we think, draws a very clear distinction between land and water.
Parrish says the proposal changes definitions within the rule, making it easier to understand what is regulated and what is not.
The first definition is the definition of tributary. The old rule included any feature that had a bed, banking, or near high watermark. That included things that only had water in it during rainfall events. It is also very clear that wetlands need to be adjacent waters and tributaries that are waters of the U.S. for them to be regulated. Otherwise, they're isolated intrastate waters and they're regulated at the state level. This rule clarifies all of that.
The comment period will close on April 15th. Parrish says farmers and ranchers have an opportunity to tell regulators how the rule impacts their operation.
This is a real opportunity to push this rule over the finish line. Go out on regulations.gov, find the regulatory docket, and submit a comment in support of this rule. Maybe explain a little bit about why this rule and the clarity that this rule provides is needed.
Farmers can also submit comments through Farm Bureau's Clean Water Rule Advocacy page at www.fb.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
In other national news, China is proposing additional purchases of U.S. ag products of $30 billion per year in trade talks with the United States. Bloomberg reports the offer would be on top of pre-trade war levels and continue for an undefined period of time. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue told reporters past Thursday it was premature to comment on the proposal, adding he did not want to raise expectations. But if an agreement is reached, Perdue says the U.S. structural reforms can recover markets very, very quickly. The proposal is part of the talks between trade officials from the U.S. and China taking place in Washington, D.C. this past week. In response, Arlen Suderman of Intel FC Stone expressed caution, noting that China will say what needs to be said to get a deal done, but the key component will be whether the verification and enforcement happens. The talks face a March 1st deadline, although President Trump has recently suggested that he would consider extending the deadline. In state news, Republican Illinois 18th District Congressman Darren LaHood of Peoria visited with members of his Agriculture Committee recently to talk about issues related to trade, infrastructure, and the Farm Bill. LaHood said that during these visits he has learned that there is a lot of mixed anxiety in farm country in terms of the farm economy and where we are in trade.
The retaliation through tariffs that's been done by the Chinese is hurting our farm economy, and so it's going to help me as I go back to Washington, D.C. next week to make sure we resolve this trade war with China, we get the new USMCA passed with Mexico and Canada, and we continue to try to open up markets and customers around the world.
LaHood is a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, which he says allows him to be an advocate for trade.
Every week that I'm in D.C., I meet with the president's trade team and remind them of the importance of agriculture and getting this resolved. And did that last week. I'll do that next week. I'm meeting next week with the president's USTR representative, Bob Lighthizer, who's the lead negotiator with China. Mm-hmm. He sits down with us. Our committee, the Ways and Means Committee, has sole jurisdiction on trade. And so we work with Mr. Lighthizer. So being an advocate, raising awareness, continuing to remind the president the importance of getting this resolved is important, and I'll continue to do that.
Immigration was also a hot topic, especially as it involves farm labor. LaHood says there is a lot of support for expanding the number of visas.
You know, right now there is a labor shortage when it comes to people working in agriculture and lots of other areas. And so I've been supportive of our raising the limits on our legal immigration. Right now we let in 1.1 million legal immigrants a year, to raising that level, bringing in more skilled labor, people that we need to fit into a lot of these jobs. And so I'm supportive of that. The problem is we haven't been able to get it passed because it gets tied to illegal immigration, which, of course, is border security.
LaHood says the path to a solution will likely mean the separation of the two issues.
But we haven't been able to separate it yet. And frankly, I think eventually that's how we're going to reach a resolution on doing that. But think about it. We have 7.3 million unfilled jobs in this country. We got to find, you know, those folks to fill in those jobs. And legal immigrants can help with that, especially with an economy where, you know, we have below 4% unemployment. And there's a lot of opportunity to do that. So this is the time to do it. I think it's a bipartisan issue, and I know the president supports it.
Illinois' 18th District Congressman, Darren LaHood. In livestock news, we have the latest results from the Greenville Livestock Auction's latest sale this past Wednesday, the 20th. There were 636 total receipts, 609 of which in cattle, 27 in sheep and goats. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to $1 lower on High Choice, and unevenly steady on Low Choice and Selects. Holstein steers traded $1 lower on High Choice and steady on Low Choice and Selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded unevenly steady on medium large 1-2s and $2 to $5 higher on unvaccinated, unweaned to short weaned calves and medium short 2-3s. Slaughter cows traded $1 to $4 higher on better cows and $1 to $2 higher on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded $2 to $5 higher. And as always, you can find the full report of the Greenville Livestock Auction, as well as many other reports, on the website at WSMIRadio.com. And in other local news, the Litchfield FFA chapter is still holding their canned food drive. This food drive will end tomorrow, however, on Tuesday, the 26th. Items can still be dropped off by the high school or sent to school with any Litchfield FFA member or student. For this Monday morning, February the 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.